Romans 3:22-24, it says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. So we are made right by placing our faith in what Jesus Christ did for us. That brings us in right standing with the Father, not our own righteousness, which the Bible describes as filthy rags, but his own gift of righteousness. And Romans chapter 5, 1 to 5 says in NLT, Romans 5, 1 to 5, it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has done what? Brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing his glory because of our faith in what Jesus Christ did. That's how we entered into this place of undeserved favor, undeserved privileges, whereby we enjoy everything that belongs to Jesus. The mercies of God shields away from us the punishments that is due unto us because of our sin. But the grace of God offers us what we don't deserve, which means all the blessings that belong to Jesus, all that God has becomes ours simply because we choose to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that brings us into peace with God, a place whereby we could now come to God and call him Abba Father. A place whereby God now becomes our Father and takes charge of our lives. Verse 3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. We can rejoice too. It's booming.
Sorry, these are teething problems. We'll solve them. So let me turn off this.
Okay. Amen. Can you hear me? And trials. We can do what? Rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to what? Disappointment. Why? For we know what? How dearly God loves us. Because of what? Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. He gave us his Spirit the moment we embraced his Son, the moment we say yes to Jesus, the moment we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is that peace between us and the Father. Automatically, we become his, because that presence of his Spirit guarantees that we are his children. The presence of the Spirit of Christ in us guarantees that God automatically becomes our Father. Amen? So even in the face of oppositions, in the face of trials or challenges, those things will only help us to develop character and, you know, strength of character. But at the end of it all, because of Jesus in us, because God is our Father, victory is ours. That's why we are called overcomers, more than conquerors, and we triumph always in Christ Jesus. Amen? God never called you and I to do any battle of life. All our battles automatically becomes his the moment we say yes to Jesus. That's why even in Old Testament, when Jehoshaphat was faced with a great battle, a great multitude that came against him, God spoke through a prophet to him and said in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, And that is what he's saying to you and I today. He said, thus says the Lord to you. Thus says the Lord to you. Thus says the Lord to you. Thus says the Lord to you, to me, to all of us that have said yes to Jesus. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, because of whatever you name it, because of maybe joblessness, or because of this sickness, or because of whatever it is. Say, don't be dismayed. I'm your father. I'm a good father. I will take care of you. Do not be dismayed, for this battle over your life, this battle over job, whatever it is, this battle is my battle. Whatever is challenging me is challenging. Whatever is challenging you is challenging me. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine. I'm head on with you at it. Amen? That's why that the Romans 5 verse 3 says, we can rejoice too. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what the Bible said in Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 or 10 verse 8, I can't remember. Saying we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, because we know in whom we have believed. He will take care of us. For we know that they help us develop endurance, and develop strength of character. Because we know that God loves us dearly. Not just anyhow, but so dearly. He's so intensely in love with you. He's so crazy about you. Why? Simply because you have put your faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So he said, all you have to do is, in any situation, in any challenge of life, is position yourself in this gift of righteousness, in this knowledge of the fact that you are in right standing with me. Stay in that position and be at peace in that position. Stand still. And what are you going to see? Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't let anything rattle you, but get positioned in that gift of righteousness and stay put there. And you will surely see my salvation. Amen? This is the word of God to you. And this is the word of God to me. All we have to do is to always remember that we are at peace with the Father. We are righteous in his sight, not in our sight, not in other people's sight, but in his sight. Because when he looks at you, he's seeing Jesus. And Jesus is his beloved son. As he dearly loved Jesus, exactly the same love he has for you. So that's why in the book of Isaiah chapter 54, 14 to 17, that's using an AMPC, he said, verse 14, you shall establish yourself in righteousness. In other words, you have to establish yourself in this gift of righteousness. Always understand, every day, remind yourself, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am at peace with my Father. My Father so dearly loves me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Remind yourself, why? Because there are things happening around you that will always be challenging that gift. Telling you, look at you. You call yourself a Christian. Look at what you're doing. Look at what you did here. Look at you. This, this, and that. So you have to constantly remind yourself that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, that the Father accepts and approves of you simply because of Jesus. Our gifts of righteousness is not based on works. It is based on what Jesus Christ did, and simply because we have put our faith in him. So he said, you shall establish yourself in righteousness, rightness in conformity with God's will and order. You shall be found from even the thought of oppression or destruction. You shall be far from that. For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Verse 15 says, behold, they may gather together and stir up strife. But it is not from me. It is never God. You know, there are some people that say God is sovereign. Whatever is happening, well, maybe God wants it that way. Maybe God is allowing this, or maybe God is teaching me that. No. It is not God. Sometimes the things that happen to us are some things that we open the door for. You know, sin has consequences. God is not the author of confusion. Sin has consequences. When you open the door for sin, The devil will come around and knock you on the head and eat your lunch. So you don't want to let it. And that's why God is there to help you by his word, so that you get to know how to seal up every door against sin and against the devil. So it is not from God. He said, behold, they may gather together and stir up strife. He said, but it is not from me. If God is sovereign, then God will just do like this, and everybody in the world will get saved, isn't it? True or false? God is sovereign to the extent to which you allow him. That is, he can do all things, but he needs your faith. He needs your cooperation. He needs you to allow him. If you allow him, like God, Jesus died for the whole world. But the day you hear it and you choose to believe, that's when automatically it becomes yours. But so long as you don't believe, it is not yours. That salvation is not yours, even though it's open to you. As many as received him. But it's only to those that believe, they are the ones that are sons of God. Amen? Amen. So he said, behold, they may gather together and stir up strife, but it is not from me. Whoever stirs up strife against you shall fall and surrender to you. Verse 16, behold, I have created the smith who blows on the fire of coals and who produces a weapon for its purpose, and I have created the devastator to destroy. That's for the purpose of destroying things that need to be destroyed, but it's not to destroy his dearly beloved children. And then verse 17 said, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, what will happen to it? You shall show to be in the wrong. It's your responsibility. If you keep your mouth shut, those things will keep on happening to you. You are the one to bring them, to show them that they are in the wrong by opening your mouth and saying what you need to say at the right time. And then he said, this peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. Who are those he reproduced? Those who have believed in him. Those who have said yes to him. He said, this peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is a done deal. It's your portion as a child of God. So long as you have said yes to Jesus, it's your inheritance. It belongs to you. That's why the Bible says we triumph always. It didn't say sometimes. No matter what comes to a child of God, the Bible says we triumph always, but in Christ Jesus. Amen. He said, this is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. This is that which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. Hallelujah. You see why it's a place of undeserved privilege. A place of undeserved privilege because of Jesus. Amen. Let's say because of who? Jesus. Amen. So he said in that verse 15, he said, behold, they may gather together and stir up strife. Why would they stir up strife? God has provided everything for you. God, the Bible said that all that pertains to life and godliness, he has already made available to us in, you know, 2 Peter, you know, chapter 1, if you read from verse 2, 3. He made all those things available to us. Our job is to enjoy in his presence. But the enemy does not want us to yummy. He wants to paint God bad. He wants us to think that God is a bad God, but God is a good God. He's a good father. So what he does is, he can use somebody next to you. He can use somebody very close to you to stir up strife. Look at. So you say, you know, that strife is to make you now to be angry, and then you say what you're not supposed to say, or you do what you're not supposed to do. Because the Bible said in chapter 1, verse 20, in Amplified, the Bible said there, for the resentful, deep-seated anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. For the resentful, deep-seated anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, that standard of behavior which he requires from us. And the devil knows it. So he will go and stir up somebody. to go and say or do something that you don't want. Or then you begin to be angry, and then your mouth will begin to rattle. You say or do what you're not supposed to. And the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 and Amplified, it said, "And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness." He can even use your spouse and say something that will just, it's like they injected your whole system and your adrenaline will shoot up. And then maybe you punch or you do what you're not supposed to do. That is the devil. That's why the Bible says that we should be sober, we should be vigilant, because he's roaming about seeking whom he may devour. It's not everybody that he can devour. And he said, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Be sober, be vigilant. You never really can tell the time that he will trigger out something through somebody that is closest to you. Say, ah, look at what he said to me. I can't believe that this and all that. And then the devil will now sit around and say, yeah, yeah. And look at even how her mouth is when she was. And did you even say, look at her tone of voice. And you begin to suggest, and then he will be telling you 1,001 reasons why you will now embrace that strife. If you look at James chapter 3, 14 to 17, in King James Version, James chapter 3, 14 to 17, it says, "But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth." It says, "This wisdom descended not from above, but is what? Is earthly, is sensual, and is what again? Devilish." See, if once you notice envy, strife, and it started somewhere, it started innocently, but you don't know that there's a spirit behind it. Now, the Bible said to us, we do not fight against flesh and blood. You don't fight against human beings. There's a spirit behind that thing, and the devil is coming to steal, to kill, to destroy, and you don't let him. When he raises up, that's why you have to guard against your heart. The Bible says we should guard our hearts with how? All diligence. For out of it flows the issues of life. You guard against it so that you know, I know what you're gunning for. And then you just keep your mouth. You won't give him an opportunity. The Bible says we shouldn't give him an opportunity in Ephesians 4:27. And he said in verse 15, "This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." He said, "For where envy and strife is," guess what is there? What else is there? "There is confusion and every evil work." Where envy and strife is, there is confusion. Anything that you call evil, you will name it sickness, poverty, whatever, name it. Anything at all will be there. He said there is confusion and every evil work. And that's what the devil wants. And that's why he goes and pushes that strife. So that, you begin to say, the other person will begin to say, and you will say, "I will not agree." And then, that thing that is going on inside of you. And he'll be fueling it by making much more suggestions with regards to whatever he sees in the other person. So, but the Bible said we should be sober, be vigilant. Say that, he said in verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of what? Mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy." No pretense about it. No pretense about it. Praise the Lord. So we must have to learn how to hold the things of this world lightly. Because the enemy uses the laws against us. These are some of the ways that we open the door for him, open the door for strife. So when you hold the things of this life lightly and rather cherish the things of God. The Bible said in Romans chapter 12, 18 to 19, and then 21, in Amplified, Romans 12, 18, 19, and then 21. He said, "If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." He said, "Beloved, Never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath and his judicial righteousness. For it is written in scriptures, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And in the summary of it, there it says, do not be overcome and conquered by evil, but overcome evil with good. I don't forget one of the notes that my father-in-law left. We saw it after he passed. You know, when he was having issues with his relatives. And then they were really against him. They were really the ones at fault. But God said to him, Christopher, love them. He said, but God, they are so difficult. He said, Christopher, go and love them, and love them, and love them. And he put dot, 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 which means... And this is the only way they know that we are his disciples. If we have love, we just have to. The Bible says, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that spitefully use you and persecute you. They overcome evil with good. They do you worse and worse, and then you keep on doing them good. My husband gave us a very good example. You know, with some people we are out against, we wanted to take his land in the village when we were still back home there. And he just, like, he refused to fight with them. They said, they told him, come, you have to come to the village. You know, they said, we have to hold a meeting. He said, no, I'm not going to leave the preaching of this gospel to come after things that I know will perish. Finally, all that matters to me now is this gospel. If that person wants to take it, that's up to them. But that land belongs to me, period. He allowed God. And finally, they did and did. And then finally, one of them dropped dead. Another one dropped dead. And before you know it, they say, please, oh, the village people gathered and said, please, leave this land for this person. This is his land. That was how they left that land. And while we were here again, right in our compound, the person next to us came after our land and used our wall to make, put window. And put window and put zinc so that the rain will be falling and dropping inside our compound. And the thing was making the erosion something. And they called him again and said, you better come down to the village. He said, the Lord will fight my battle. I leave it. I rest my case. But you people should keep on loving them. They don't understand what they are doing to themselves. Even when he finally traveled to the village, they say, you better come. Let's talk to these people. He said, no. In fact, he even went and bought things for them and gave them money. Now, after months, those people now called. I said, please, oh. In fact, they even tried to put gates to block us from entering inside our compound. They now say, please, wait, you know, I think they have removed the gates now, and they now say, please, oh, give us a few more months that we are going to remove that thing. We are going to reconstruct that thing. You see how God fought that battle? So that's why I'm saying, take the things of this world lightly. You met them here. The Bible says we came into this world naked. And how are we going to live? Naked. Even if they cover you with all manner of goodies, and then you will finally still, those things will perish there. They will perish there. You can't go with them. Praise the Lord. So you avoid trials. God gave us his peace. The Bible said that he will take care of us. In Hebrew chapter 13, I will read 5, 6, 8, and then 13. The Bible said there, I'm reading using AMPC. It said, let your character or moral disposition be free from what? From love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. This is the promise of the Father. He will not in any degree, and I mean, he's a living testimony to that. God fought all those battles even without his showing up and gave him victory. Because the heart of man is desperately wicked. It's only God that has what it takes to go into the innermost recesses of a human being to touch and change the heart of that person. There is no amount of talking that will do it. But when you let God, then he will go at work for you. And you will smile at the end of it. And verse 6 said, so we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? If God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. They haven't born that person yet. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And verse 5 says, through him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. You know why that sacrifice of praise? Because things may not be going the way you want it to. And you may not feel like praising him. But you say, I praise him anyway. I give you praise, Father God. I thank you because you are faithful. You are my source. And you take care of your own. So it's a sacrifice of praise that glorifies his name. And God is fearful in praises. When you begin to praise him, he goes to war. He goes to battle on your behalf. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. God is faithful to his promises, for he's not a man that he should lie. All you have to do is just to humble yourself. Acknowledge the fact that you cannot help yourself, that you cannot do it by yourself. You cannot fight this battle of life for yourself. And allow God to fight. Humility means, I acknowledge you as God. I am not God. You are God. And you let him be God in your life. So 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 to 11 in Amplified, it says, therefore, from verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Set aside self-righteous pride so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his service at the appropriate time. But you have to let him. Verse 7, this is what you're supposed to do. Say, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Casting the whole of your care. He said, once and for all. That is a place of faith to show that, look, I have confidence in you. My confidence is in no other but you. Lord, I trust you. In this matter, I trust you. Except you do it for me, there's absolutely nothing I can do. So you hands off and you hand over to him. You hands off and you hand over to him. And no matter how he tries to pull you in your heart to disbelieve God, the Bible said, whom resist? You say, no, I know my Redeemer liveth. He will see me through. My battle belongs to him and he's doing it for me. He can't be fighting and I'm fighting. If I'm fighting, that means he will hands off. If he's fighting, then I need to go to sleep. Amen? And this is one biggest thing that we as believers need to enter into his rest. To know that the work has been finished from the foundations of the earth. To know that God does our battles. And when he says he does your battle, he does it for real. And he does it so good. Amen? And verse 10 of that 1 Peter chapter 5 says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts his blessing and favor, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself, everybody say himself, say himself, will himself complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, making you what you ought to be. But leave it for him. You can't help him. All he wants you to do is just to simply believe. Amen? And patiently wait for him, like the farmer who waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rain. You have to also wait patiently and make sure you zip your lips. You only say in line with what God is doing and not in line with what you're seeing. You know, I think Charles Camp that said, my children, that God told him that my children are always saying what they have instead of saying what they want. You understand that? They are saying what they have. Oh, this thing is so difficult. This thing is always difficult. I never really get to do this right. That is, you're saying what you have. But the Bible said, you can do all things through Christ who infuses the inner strength. The Bible said, I am more than a conqueror and I triumph always in Christ. I'm the trophy of Christ's victory. Victory is mine. And we sing it in song. Victory is mine. Victory is victory today is mine. Is that not our song? Because it's true. But when the chips are down, remember that remains true. You cannot change what is written. What is written is written. All you have to do is to cooperate with it. You can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. All you have to do is support the truth. Support what the word said, and the word of God will work for you. Amen? Psalm 37, the Bible said, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart desire. You know that word? Delight in doing things God's way. Delight in trusting him, and God will begin to put the desires that will fit into the plan that he has for your life, and you will see those things happen. Verse 5 says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. Commit everything you do. Do we commit everything that we do? Everything. Everything. Everything means what? Everything. Everything. Everybody say everything.
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 So everything about your life, the Bible says, roll it over to him. Commit it to him. And he said, just trust him that he knows what he's doing. And he will help you. He said, be still. Because when you roll it over to him, the devil is going to come. What are you going to do about this thing? This is getting too late. You remember, this is what happened to this person. Remember how when he begins to hit you, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Say, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him. When he begins to harass you, say, I am still and I'm waiting for my Father. I know he will come through for me. He said, and wait patiently for him to ask. He said, don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked skin. He said, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Verse 23 of the same verse. He said, though they stumble, they will never fail. This is the promise of the Father. They will never fail, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Praise the Lord. So you be still, be at peace. A peaceful Christian is a very powerful Christian. Nothing rattles you, because whatever tries to rattle you, you are focused on only one thing, looking away from all that will distract onto Jesus, who is the Alpha and the Omega of your life, the author and finisher of your faith. You are not rattled by anything. Philippians chapter 1 verse 28, it says there in Amplified AMPC, it said, and do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries, for such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof, and seal to them of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from the Lord. My beloved husband is a good example of that. Like the testimonies I just shared, he was just at peace. He will sleep and wake up. He's not even bothered about it. And look at how God fought the whole battle and gave him victory. Always remember that you have his peace in you. He said, my peace I give unto you. John chapter 14, verse 27. The peace of God that garrisons all human understanding is there. But you have to trust. You have to not allow anxiety or worry. Jesus himself is our peace. That's what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. He himself, not another, not an angel. He himself is our peace. So that peace is already in you. Even the Bible said that the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So you don't have to be worried. You don't have to be afraid. Matthew 10, 30, 31. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are of more value to God than a whole flock of sparrows. So you hold on to your peace. You hold on to your joy. That joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's why the Bible says that those that do these things, that they are pleasing to God and they are approved of men. That no matter what, your face doesn't become like lemonade. Because you know that God will always come through for you. You allow that lemonade to become a lemon that somebody can eat and benefit that person. So you allow God to be God for you. And Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, the Bible said then about Jesus, it said, therefore, I'm reading from AMPC, it said, he is able also to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God through him, since he is always living to make petition to God and intercede with him and intervene for them. He's able to save to the uttermost. You must understand that the one in whom you have believed, the one that lives in you, the one in whom you are complete in the Father, he is able to save to the uttermost. There is nothing he cannot do for you. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, the Bible declared, you shall be saved from whatever. But your job is to make sure you trust and you believe. He said in 1 Peter chapter 3, 12 and then 15a, 1 Peter 3, 12 and 15a in Amplified, the Bible said, concerning you and I, who have chosen Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. He said, for the eyes of the Lord are what? Looking favorably upon the righteous, the upright. That's those who have chosen Jesus, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, eager to answer. But the face of the Lord is against those who practice evil. Now, who is there to hurt you if you become enthusiastic to what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, though it is not certain that you will, you are still blessed, happy to be admired and favored by God. Do not be afraid of their intimidating threats, nor be troubled or disturbed by their opposition. But in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy, acknowledging him, giving him first place in your life as Lord. In other words, choose him as your Lord in every situation. When you choose him as your Lord in every situation, he will prove himself as Lord in such situations. And your job will be that your joy shall be full. Amen? God promised one thing in Isaiah chapter 26, 3 to 4. He said, you will keep in perfect and constant peace. That's AMP. Let's read it together. You will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is, committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. God will keep you in perfect and constant peace. This is his promise. This is the word of God. We believe the word of man. This is the word of God, the infallible word of God. And his word will never return to him void. And there is no word of God that is devoid of power. When he said it, he meant every bit of it. So he said he will keep in perfect and constant peace. So whenever you're losing peace, because that peace is already in you, check what you're focusing on. What are you focused on? What are you thinking about? You might have been thinking about the negatives or the things happening around your life. You are not focusing on the Lord, because he said he will keep you in constant, and perfect peace. He will keep you in perfect and constant peace, the one whose mind is steadfast, that is, committed and focused on him, both in inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. When you're focused on him, then you should have that joyful, confident expectation of good, that God is good and he's who he said he is, and he will always come through for you. Amen? He has your picture in his breast pocket. He said he has put your picture in his hands in Isaiah chapter 49, 15 to 16. We're talking about living the kingdom life, living a life that understands that my life is in the hands of my Father and he takes care of me. I watch my daughter-in-law and then my son and with the children. Whatever those children need, they take care of them. But the children has to cooperate with them by, when they say, come, let's go, they go. When they say, let's go back home, okay, let's sit here, okay, it's time to sleep. They have to cooperate with them. But they have their best interests at heart. God has best interests at heart for all his children. And he's a good father. And he said, if we've been evil, we know how to give good things to our own children. How much more will our heavenly Father not give good things to his own children? So when you know all these things, you find out that there is no room for worrying. When you're worrying, you're squeezing the hand of God. You're saying, God, I don't think you can come through in this one. I don't think you can handle this. I think I have to really, let me see how I can handle and manage this one. That's what you're saying when you're worrying. And he doesn't want us to be worrying, because he loves us so dearly. He wants us to just simply believe him. And then that's why in Matthew chapter 6, he said, therefore, I tell you, stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body as to what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Therefore, I tell you, stop. Whose responsibility? It's yours. It's mine. We are to stop worrying. We are to stop being anxious. When you're worrying and you're anxious, you are saying, God, that's a vote of low confidence in God. You're saying, God, you're not a good father. You can't take care of your own. I've got to take care of myself. That's a vote of low confidence. And he asked us in verse 27, he said, and who of you, by worrying, can add 1 hour to the length of his life? Who of you, by worrying, can add 1 hour to the length of his life? Please turn to your neighbor and ask your neighbor that question. Did anybody say that he can? Can anyone add 1 hour? If you can, so why worry about it? Just, why don't you let go and let God? You let go and let God. Say, but first and most importantly, seek him, that's verse 33, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. He said, let tomorrow worry about its own self, but your job is to seek to know me better, seek my character and my, seek my way of doing, seek to understand the fact that you are in right standing with me. I will take care of you. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, the Bible described the kingdom of God as a hidden treasure. It said, the kingdom of heaven is like a very precious treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field, securing the treasure for himself. A hidden treasure. This man found it, and then he hid it, and then he now went and sold everything. And then he also, and he said he buys the field, securing the treasure for himself. And then Matthew 13, again, 45 to 46, he said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And upon finding a single pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. You have to treasure the word of God. The word of God is what gives you revelation of who you are in Christ, of who Jesus is in you, and of who you are in Christ. When you treasure the word of God, you are going to do all you can to get to know him better. Anything that will help you to understand the word of God better, showing up on Sunday services, Bible study, life center, Sunday school, you want to get to know him better. And anything you can do, you log onto the website, you want to hear more and more and more, because it's now a treasure to you. Until the word of God becomes a treasure for you, you might not really fully understand all these benefits and enjoy it fully. Jeremiah said in verse 15, chapter 15 of verse 16, chapters 15, verse 16 in AMP, he said, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became a joy to me and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. We've been called by his name if you've given your life to Jesus. The word of God should become a delight to you, that you're going to be prepared to spend quality time to fellowship with the word of God. The Bible said, let the words of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. That's a Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let it dwell richly. When it dwells richly, you begin to enjoy so much, because you get to know who you are in Christ. You get to know who Jesus is. You get to believe that God is who he said he is. And you get to know that all your battles are being fought by him. And then you begin to live that joyful life. Whatever shows up, you have that attitude of gratitude to him. The Bible says, oh, that men will praise the Lord. You begin to praise him because you know he already sent his word and healed you. He's a past tense and delivered you from all the destructions of the enemy. All you have to do is, for every issue, you dig the appropriate scripture and you stand on it and you see your deliverance come. Because God is faithful, and he said that his word will never return unto him void. And in any case, as you begin to plan the word of God, you find out that the word of, as you sleep and wake up, you sleep, things are changing. They are just changing. They are just changing. You find your life getting better and better and better. You find your issues being resolved, you know, from one level of glory to another level of glory. That's what he told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. As you keep on beholding us in a mirror with unveiled face, and your face becomes unveiled in Christ. When you receive Jesus, you receive the Spirit of God, whereby you'll be able to understand the things that have been given to you and realize them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. The Spirit of God is given to you to begin to understand. So as you begin to fellowship with the Word of God, you understand the Word of God, because the Spirit of God teaches you and your life begins to get better. And every day, oh my goodness, I can't tell you what I've been enjoying. I say, oh my goodness, this Christianity is so sweet. There was a time I used to say, Jesus, please come home, come back quickly and take me home. I'm tired of this Christianity, because I was in religion. Then when I got to know Jesus, and the grace of God. Oh, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I'm just flowing. Christianity is so sweet, and our Father is so good, and our Jesus, our senior brother, is such a lovely brother that I have. He's my senior brother. I don't know my position, you know, in the Christendom. I might be the middle-aged sister to him. I don't know. But all that matters to me is that he's my senior brother, and I'm glad to be his younger sister. Amen? And he loves all of us so dearly. Praise the Lord. Christianity is so sweet. Those that is a drag to is because they don't know this truth. They just don't know how dearly the Father prized them. The Father loves them. Amen? So when you get to know, you are going to spend all that you can to make sure that you get to know. And then, you know, whatever comes around your way, you make sure that the Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. That's Hebrews chapter, 4, verse from 12 and 13. So whatever comes, you use the word of God. That's your sword of the spirit. Oh, it is written. And this one shows up, it is written. And this one shows up, it is written. That's just your answer. Like your senior brother did, Jesus Christ, when the enemy showed up, what did he do? Satan, it is written. You don't have any answer for him but the word of God. You're not a match to him. Just simply shoot out the word of God, and the word of God goes to work, and God knows what to do. And his word will never return unto him void. Amen? Praise the Lord. You are in your safe hands. When you are in the hands of the Father, you are in safe hands. So your job is just to be merry. Be happy. The Bible says that a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. Keep a merry heart, because the Father has given you his spirit. And as you get to fellowship with the word of God, you are energizing your spirit man. You are energizing to quickly pick what the Father is saying and to quickly respond at the right time, and then in right manner. Praise the Lord. I don't forget one time when I was in Nigeria, my house was called Obon House. I was teaching at Queen's College, Lagos. That was the best female school in Nigeria at the time. I don't know what it is today. And I remember that there were six houses. And I used to be in what they call Danfodio, and we used to come first in every matter. I was there with one NK Onuzo. And we too, we are born again. We are all going to our church, and we're always praying about that house. And then every time the house will come first in everything. And one day we had this principal that came and said, look, I'm going to scatter this down for you so that what the good thing that they have will also touch other houses. And I was saying, God, please, I don't want them to move me from that podium. I just want to remain there. And lo and behold, because she was the senior over there, they took me and put me in the house that is always coming last, Obon House. In everything, academically, Obon sixth position out of six houses. Sports, Obon sixth position. Cleanliness, Obon sixth position. So when I got in there, I said, Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I can do all things through Christ who infuses the inner strength. I have to inject this into these children. You have brought me here to give a sphere of influence, to bring your influence in this area. So I make sure I was always there, for we hold assembly every day. And I will get there and I will tell them, share the word of God. Every day I have a scripture and I will share the scriptures with them. I will tell them, with God you can do all things. I will tell them about this joy of the Lord. And they say, anytime you see me, tell me, Dorothy, you owe me love. Because the Spirit of Christ is in you. I've already shared the scriptures. I've already shared the word of God with them, told them about Jesus in our assemblies. And I begin to tell them, you have the spirit of excellence in you and you can do all things. You have joy, you have love. Because, you know, their faces were always like lemon. Each time you get to the house, come and look at their faces, it's like you just want to run away. Because there was no victory at all, year after year. These things were happening year after year. I say, the best is the best for Obon House. Everybody say it. The best is the best for Obon House. We started from there. And I got to my house and I told everybody, look, we're going to pray. God has to be glorified in this house. So every day, morning prayer, night prayer in my family, we are praying about Obon House. I say the best is, my children, they all know about Obon House. The best is the best for Obon House. And I will be encouraging them And every one of them I say, I love you. And they say, tell me that I owe you love. And each time they see me, say, Dorothy, you owe me love. Say, I love you with the love of the Lord. And we continue with that. I began to inject hope into them. It took some time. After some time, they came to the fifth position. From fifth position, they came to the fourth position. From fourth position, they came to the third position. From third, they came to the second. The year I was to leave, I said, look, you're going to give it to me this year. I can't live here without your giving me the... Today, this year is our year. I said before them, in fact, the whole houses are now afraid of you. Your fear has gone over them. And because the Lord is with you, and you're coming first. And we went to the field. Cleanliness, Auburn became first. Academically, Auburn first. And then in sports, Auburn became first. It came to the point where the parents will come and say, we want our children to be in Auburn House. Every parent now wants their children to be in Auburn House because the influence of God came there. You have what it takes to change, to turn your life around. You have the Word of God in you. You have the Spirit of God in you. Whatever is there, you are the product of one. You are created by the infallible Word of God, incorruptible seed of the Word of God. The Word of God is the incorruptible seed and will always produce anywhere it is planted. God said, let us make man in our image. And that's how we came. And Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. And you have his word. Turn around your life. Turn around your issues, your situations by the things that you say. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Bible said that our faith becomes effectual as we begin to acknowledge those good things that he has done for us. Don't shut up your mouth. Your mouth is given to you to call to death what needs to die. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You call to death what needs to die. You call to life what needs to live. But let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God is so faithful to his own. God is not against you. He is for you. Jesus came that you might have, that your joy might be full to overflowing. If it's not overflowing, then check where you dislocated. It is not God, it is you. You have to find out where you exited and get back to him. Follow his word, and his word will always produce. The word of God will never return to him void. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 37 in AMP. Luke 1:37. If you find it, you read for us. God builds us by his word. So you have to give him what to use in building your life. So fill yourself with. Do we have it? Luke chapter 1, verse 27. Do we have it? I'm just trying to see where I have it here. Can we get that? If anybody has it, maybe you can read for us. That's the scripture I want. Oh, our time is up. Amen? Can you read it? Okay, it says, I think I got it wrong. Amen. So what it's saying is no word of God is, yes, that's it. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Amen. Shall we all rise? Shall we all rise?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks, and remain blessed.